could not resist playing that. That's Carly Simon. Yes, you can see us wandering up and down Rochester High Street in our three-piece suits with flares. Did you have flares, or did your mum not allow you to wear flares?
I don't think I had flares. I think, again, it was part of me being born middle-aged. But I also had accoutrements to the uniform, including a rather sort of dubious waistcoat with bronze buttons on
which
it.
Which I wasn't allowed to wear. And you had a scarf thing as well, because you were a prefect. I was only a monitor.
Well, it was one of those funny schools whereby whatever society or club you were in, you sort of had another accoutrement. Yeah. So essentially everyone dressed differently, and they called it a uniform, which is a paradox.
Bizarre, isn't it? It's 27 minutes past five. Now, how can we move subtly from fashion to eyes?
You can't.
You can't. So I'm not even going to try. However, it's a real pleasure to have our next guest within the studio, Georgos Leontides.
Exactly.
There
you
go. Now,
he did well, didn't he?
Yeah, perfect for a Greek name. I think it's
been practicing that all week. Now, the reason you're here is that a couple of weeks ago we had the super boss in your department, Dr. Andrew Hunter, who came in to talk about a really, really exciting project where there was about €1 million coming into the university.
Exactly.
And that we spent it all on you. Is that right, Georgios?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's a very expensive member of the team. And it's all to do with something that I'm leaving to you and Nigel to talk about, which is eyes and retinas and things, because...
we'll get there.
Go. It's your turn to speak, Nigel.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
And Andrew just gently warms you up before we ask the embarrassing questions, you see. Now, your work is mainly about inspecting the back of the eye.
Exactly.
The retina, as we call it. And we know that in certain conditions, the back of the eye changes and gives clinicians, whoever they are, very clear clues that something's going wrong. I think that's a fair starting point, isn't it?
Precisely, yeah. The thing that I would like to say, firstly, is that the retina is the only way that we can very easily see the blood vessels of the body. So it's the only way that without any invasive way, we can actually evaluate what's going on in the body. And the vessel is not only in the eye specifically, it's not only a way of just evaluating eye diseases. It's a way of actually having a whole evaluation of the whole body.
So it's a sort of holistic MOT view of the body through the eye, essentially.
Precisely, yeah.
Hmm. Because one of the problems that patients have with diabetes, as we know, apart from them having an increased risk of cardiovascular disease and kidney disease, is that a lot of diabetics who are badly controlled get significant retinal disease, or retinopathy, as we call it, and that can, in the more severe cases, lead to blindness.
Exactly.
Fair comment?
Yeah, very fair comment. And I would like to say now that only in England we have every year about 4,200 new cases of very serious proliferative retinopathy, and around 1,800 that get blind from this. So it's very, very, very...
And that's new cases, and that's impossible, because if you add all the increments every year,
exactly,
it's a big problem.
You've just stunned me with two huge figures, that there are so many people who are suffering from it, and the number of that could then eventually go blind.
Yeah, actually, yeah, this is true. It's 1,200 every year.
Now, out of 6 million in the country, it's not, 6 billion, I should say, in the country, it's not huge, but it's a very significant number of people who should not have to go blind.
Exactly. This is our case now. This is what we are trying to do, try to find some early signs before the retinopathy that actually we can prevent some patients of having retinopathy. So in this point, we're focusing on diabetic patients because we know that diabetes triggers changes in the retina. So from the increase of glucose level, there are some risk factors. So we're trying to gather all these factors and evaluate how they might change the retina before we have a retinopathy.
I love the idea a moment ago. You were talking about looking into the eye. You could actually look into the health of the body.
Exactly.
Mm. That strikes me as being a fascinating idea.
It's something we've been doing for a long time. And one of the things they teach you to do when you're a medical student is to look in the back of the eye using just a retinoscope, which is essentially a torch and a lens. But because it's got the word medical on it, costs £200. And you're just looking in the back of the eye to look at the shape of the blood vessels, because you can see the veins and the arteries, and you can see how they lie against each other and whether the artery is pressing on the vein and various other signs associated with high blood pressure. But also you can look at the whole of the back of the eye to see if it's uniform or to see if it has little cotton wool patches on it or exudates. And that's very important. And sometimes when people go for their eye test, the first time this is picked up, when they as us
old
having
people.
Problems trying to read newspapers, they say, oh, by the way, I'll just have a look in the back of your eyes.
And they say,
I found something there, and I think you'd better go and see somebody who's a bit more experienced. And then they get passed on to the expert to get the big picture of the back of the eye and make a proper diagnosis.
So, Georgios, this €1 million that's coming to you, it's part of a big framework of funding, isn't it? What exactly is the bit that you're doing?
Exactly. It's the... As Professor Andrew Hunter had said in your interview, it's a Marie Curie project. This means that it's the most prestigious research project that someone can have in the university.
Wow.
Yeah, it's by far the most, and that's why the funding is quite high.
It's a good dollar per money.
Yeah, exactly. So they promote this highly. My specific project has to do with the diabetic retinopathy. So I'm focusing exactly on how we can find biomarkers, which means that early signs in the retina. So this will show us how we can evaluate these signs and actually manage to diagnose retinopathy before actually we see it in the fundus images.
Develops.
Exactly. But it's not an easy thing, so we don't only have images and database that we are using, but we are trying to use some simulation programs in order to make some vessels on a computer and feeding them with different data according to how diabetes affects the body, and then see the outcome by simulations. Because we cannot have databases all around and data, so we have to create them in the end. That's why we use computers, that's why it comes engineering in the medical applications.
Because I've noticed sometimes in the stuff we get sent around the university from our press and communication people, they say, does anybody want to take part in an experiment on sleep? Or does anyone have a dog or a cat that's got behavioural problems? We don't see, would you like to donate your eyes to Georgios because he wants to play with them? Because you were starting off by saying the joy of what you can do is it's non-invasive in the sense that you don't have to take it apart to see what's wrong with it.
Exactly. The problem is that when we are trying to find and evaluate some specific biomarkers that we want to actually create them, it's not easy because, as you know, having ethical approval for running experiments is very, very time. I mean, sometimes you need 5-6 months. So in the research, this is a huge time. That's why we have to create our own databases by using softwares in order to make our own models and then having the experience and the knowledge of how diabetes affects the vessel's structure to feed the model and actually see how the system will go. And then according to our results, we can then start some experiments, but very focused then, not generally in the beginning. So with the models, actually we can see how the diabetes actually might affect, and then this gives us some indication of how it will proceed in the end. So this is important and how engineering comes into medicine, because personally I'm an engineer, so this is a way of combining the medical knowledge and the engineering.
So as an engineer, what bit are you actually doing of this? Are you the one creating the modelling systems?
Exactly. Because I have also graduate studies in medical informatics, so I managed to connect these two worlds, medicine and engineering. So actually I have a bit of knowledge in how the biological system works, and I'm trying to connect with engineering. But yeah, this is not always an easy way, but yeah, I'm trying to do my best on this.
This is just fascinating, isn't it? I mean, going back to the... I keep holding this thing up. It's got nothing to do with retinol or things. It's a cassette tape that we used to use, him and me, when we were starting out in broadcasting, which is 1 million miles away from the digital stuff I have here. And, of course, the research you're doing is 1 million miles away from where you started in your medical career some 40, 50 years ago.
Oh, I think that's a very fair observation, because when we used to look in the back of eyes, I have to be the first to confess it was an act of faith. And
you just thought, oh, I'll have a look.
It's very difficult. The patient moves, you move, someone's been eating garlic, all these things. And you don't get a good... And the light's too bright, so the pupils constrict, and you don't get a fabulous view. But here you do.
Fantastic.
But do you see a time when we'll be offering this as a mass screening service to the population above a certain age, for example? Because in my specialty, one of the worries we've got is that people in the UK are getting bigger. For example, in pregnancy, 30% of my patients have a body mass index of over 30. We know that here's the population who are going to get type 2 diabetes more likely than if they were slim. And the same thing is happening across the country. So diabetes in younger people is becoming an endemic problem, not only in England, but also in Northern Europe. And therefore, there'll be more people with diabetic retinopathy. Therefore, potentially, there's an increased risk of blindness in the population. And that's why I mentioned this mass screening things. Now, I know we do cervical screening to detect pre cancerous changes in the cervix. But I just wonder whether there might be a similar option, a national option, because you may save money by catching it early.
This is a fair question, and this is true. Actually, type 1 diabetes, which is for the young diabetes, is much, much, much more dangerous than type 2 diabetes.
Yes, yes.
But the truth is that when we are trying to combine engineering and medicine, try to use some software to predict or to diagnose some diseases, you know, because it has to do with patients, it's not easily applicable to the daily practice because nobody actually still trusts it 100%. So our goal is to make ophthalmologists, basically, to trust us more.
Good.
It doesn't mean that we will say that we don't need ophthalmologists, of course. This is not always the issue. It's trying to find tools that will help ophthalmologists because, as you know, if as the diabetes increases, every year, every patient has to have screening. So we speak about 1,000 of images, million maybe of images. So this is not easy for someone to evaluate. So if we come to this point and we manage to say, okay, point to this specific image that we see something that might be dangerous in the future, this would be an excellent thing to do.
So it's essentially becoming an augmented diagnostic tool in retinoscopy.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. This is the point.
Yeah.
The time is not easy to think, but for our project, we hope that until 2016 that we finish the project, I think we'll have very good results in this. And so the good thing is that even now, we have some good indications that we work on them.
So this is actually quite a tight time frame, isn't it, that you're working to, if you're talking about 2016?
Exactly.
This is actually going to have some effect fairly quickly and relatively quickly in medical terms, because it seems to take forever for things to happen medically.
I think that's a fair comment.
Yeah. George, please do keep us in touch with this. I know that your press liaison person will no doubt keep pushing you this way. It's been a real pleasure to meet you.
And I'm
just fascinated by this engineer who's developing something to deal with something which is so precious.
Exactly.
Sight is just one of those senses I'm not sure I could live without.
Well, you see, people go on about medicine being this great science, but we can't do it without chemists, engineers, physicists. It's all the other guys, and we're just the front end that talks to the patient, really.
You're the glam bit.
Yeah, it's true.
And in your case, even that's
unglamorous
up for,
bit.
Even that's up
thank you.
George Estantes, thank you very much indeed for joining us here. Siren 107.3 FM.